In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Good morning and happy Saturday to everybody out there. This is the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. I am your host, Paul Metters, live here at First String Sports, where I do my show every Saturday. First String Sports is on Blackstone Avenue in between Sierra and Herndon on the east side of Blackstone. Come on down here. They are open from 9 to 5. 9 to 5, 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday. I do my show on the right-hand side of the store in the Letterman's Jacket Room. If you guys happen to ever watch my Facebook Live, and I'll post pictures after every show, and the Letterman's Jacket Room definitely pops. It's a beautiful sight. I wouldn't want to do my show any other place. See Letterman's Jackets from Edison, Hoover to my right, Central, Bullard, Kerman, Sanger to my left, Sunnyside, Fresno Christian, behind me, Parlier, Clovis High. They share the same Letterman's Jacket. Clovis North, there's Kingsburg. Going to have Kingsburg in the house later today. But thanks to First String Sports for being a great sponsor of local high school sports and local sports in general. They are awesome. You guys come on down here. They got everything, right? Not only Letterman's Jackets, but any type of equipment that you want. Baseball and softball obviously is in full bloom. Travel ball will be here before you know it, so make sure you get all your stuff. So, again, thanks to First String Sports. Want to mention also, you can follow me on Twitter at Paul Metters, PaulMeadors, or at 1430 ESPN. Also, weather report by Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating. Right now, 67 degrees. Beautiful day. Beautiful blue skies. Little cloud covering as well. The high is going to be 83 degrees. Getting a little warm out there. So, very nice temperatures. I know there's a huge baseball series this weekend at Fresno State. San Jose State is in town. Unfortunately, the Dogs fell yesterday, 6-4. They play at 3:05 today. Play tomorrow at 1 o'clock. This will be excellent, excellent weather at the Fresno State baseball game. And I heard that Sunday's game is 95% sold out. That place is going to be absolutely rocking on Sunday afternoon. 95% sold out. So if you don't have your tickets, hurry up. Get those online at GoBulldogs.com. All right. So what's happening today? What's going on the show? After the break, we're going to be talking with Chris Milton. He's the father of Kendall Milton. You guys know Kendall Milton, of course, the Buchanan grad. He's a running back at the two-time national championship University of Georgia. I'll tell you what, the last 4 years have been a lot of fun watching Kendall on the national stage. You know what he did in the Peach Bowl this year, MVP, only played the first half, scored two touchdowns, rushed for over 100 yards. Obviously, the two-time national champ thing is huge. Well, he has a camp today, Kendall's first annual camp being held at Alta Sierra. He's preparing for the NFL draft, which is starting this Thursday. Excellent chance he's going to be drafted. So he's giving back. He's giving back to the community, Alta Sierra, from 5 to 8, and that camp filled up really, really quick. And check out who's coming, though. Todd Gurley, University of Georgia running back, had a nice career in the NFL. Had to retire a couple years ago due to injury. Jalen McMillan is also going to be there. Sam McKee Memorial grad, University of Washington. Also watched him on the big stage. He's going to be drafted, so he's going to be there. We're going to talk with Dad Chris. Kendall's actually meeting with the mayor this morning, so couldn't get him on the show. So Kendall, obviously giving back to the community, going to be an NFL guy. So really looking forward to talk to Chris. I've had a relationship with Chris, well, ever since Kendall was a freshman. Love to talk to Chris about football. We'll text him. You know, during a game sometimes when Kendall would score a touchdown, say, hey, man, Kendall's looking really good. Say, thanks, bro. So Chris is coming on the show. Really looking forward to talk to him. And he's been all over. He followed Kendall all over the United States watching him play football. And after that, after Chris, Kingsburg baseball coach Jim Cranford joins us. His Vikings are 15-7, 5-3 in league. They split with Kerman this week. They won 2-0 on Tuesday. And on Thursday, they fell to the Lions 9-3, a game that we covered here on 1430 ESPN. They're the defending D3 champs. Coach Cranford also played baseball for Coach Bennett for 2 years, 1980 through 1982. He credits him as being one of the most, you know, influential people in Coach Cranford's life. Today, Bob Bennett is being honored at Fresno State. So look forward to talk to Coach Cranford. Here's some Bob Bennett stories as well. At the top of hour number two, Mike Brink, who's my partner in crime on 1430 ESPN, calling high school broadcast. Coming in, we're going to be talking about high school baseball. Who's looking good? Who is might be on the bubble for being a one of those top seeds in the playoffs? Clovis High is looking really strong. They just swept Clovis North. I'll get to that in just a second. But Mike, always good to talk about baseball with Mike. And he's got Fresno State ties as well. His son Jordan played baseball at Fresno State, pro ball. He's now the director of operations for the baseball program at Fresno State. So always look forward to talk to Mike. Has some great insight into the game. He's also an umpire, so he sees the game from a lot of different angles. At the bottom of hour number two, we always like to bring in a high school superstar, and we got one today. Tyler Patrick, Clovis West. What he did on the football field was an excellent, excellent quarterback. Well, he's going to Fresno State on a baseball scholarship, and Tyler's putting together one of the best, if not the best season right now in the Central Section, on the mound and up and at the plate. His Golden Eagles are 15-5 after they swept Clovis East this week. They're 5-1 in league. He's having an excellent year. He's hitting over 400. He's got five bombs. He hit a grand slam on senior night on the bump. How about this ERA? 0.46. Has a 44-9 K to walk ratio. 0.46, guys. That is remarkable. It even makes it more remarkable that it's big-time baseball, right? Sometimes you see these ERAs from some other programs. You're like, well, who are they pitching against? Well, Tyler Patrick is pitching against some of the best teams in the Central Section. It's 0.46 ERA. So I think this is Tyler's third year on the show, third time on the show. He's come on every season, so really looking forward to talking to him. I mentioned that Clovis swept Clovis North. It was a huge three-game series this week. Remember when Clovis North defeated the Cougars 8-1 to win the Fresno Easter Classic? Well, throw that out, right? Now the games really, really matter. That was a nice win for Clovis North. But the Cougars come back and sweep the Broncos. John Caston yesterday went 6 1/3 inning, gave up only one run, had four Ks. Like I said, they're now 6-0 in the track. And they're looking to be one of the top seeds, if not the top seed in Division I. Yesterday, I believe the score, actually, let me check here. 5-1. 5-1 yesterday. So Clovis High looking really, really strong. A little football news. Edison Tigers have their man. They hired a new football coach. Johnny Sears Jr. played football at Michigan and Eastern Michigan. Played in the Canadian Football League for a while. He's been the defensive coordinator at Edison. So Edison was one of the last teams, to be honest, that hadn't announced their new football coach yet. So they got their guy. Johnny Sears Jr., congratulations to him for taking over the Tiger program. And also a little basketball news before we hit the break. There is a huge, what are you going to call it, showcase, high school basketball games, junior high all-star games this next Friday and Saturday at Fresno Pacific University. Middle and high school all-star games, 7th and 8th grade, put on by a couple dudes that you might recognize, Demetrius Porter. Everybody knows Michi. Washington Union star, Fresno State star, played for Tark. Really involved in the AAU circuit. Has his own wine business. He is awesome. He is everywhere. So he and Myron Epps, remember Myron Epps, played at San Diego State as well. Played in Visalia. Where did he go to school? Mission Oak? No. I think Mission Oak was later. Let me think of Mission. I think that might be right. But Myron Epps, really good basketball coach. So those two guys are putting on a great showcase again next Friday and Saturday. And how about these coaches? Brad Rosnowski, San Joaquin Memorial, AJ Sheeran from North, Azelle Archie from Hoover, Cooper Steele from Clovis girls program, Jonathan Bartlett, who's the girls coach at Menachie is the D2 champions this year, Jordan Dancer, champion at Carruthers as well. So an all-star weekend at Fresno Pacific with all-star coaches. So make sure you guys check that out as well. All right, so that wraps everything up here in my opener. I'm going to take a About a 4 or 5 minute break. We're going to bring on Chris Milton, father of Kendall Milton, who's having a camp at Alta Sierra. Really looking forward to talk to Chris about all his adventures following his son Kendall, his draft stock, where he's at, what the scouts are saying. But incredible, incredible family. We all root for Kendall Milton. So we're going to be talking with Dad Chris coming up next on 1430 ESPN. All right, today, 5 to 8 at Alta Sierra. Two-time national champion at the University of Georgia, Kendall Milton is holding his first annual football camp. He's preparing for the NFL. It's happening this Thursday, the draft. Excited about that. Excited to have Pops Chris on the line right now to talk about this really cool event and actually about his experience, too, watching his son perform at an extremely high level. At the highest level possible, at the college level. So, Chris, my man, long time no see. What is up, my friend?
What's up, buddy, man? It's been a long time. My goodness. Things are well. Things are well.
Excellent. So I hear that that Kendall right now is meeting with Mayor Dyer this morning. Is that true?
Yes. He,
So what are they talk? You got me, Chris?
Okay, I thought I heard something in the background. Yeah, they're going over something to, I think, beautify the city of Fresno. Some projects or whatever they're going through at a high level. That's where he is right now.
And that's the word of the day for sure. The phrase of the day: high level. We're talking with Chris Milton, Kendall Milton's father. So I know the camp filled up quickly today, which is awesome. But tell me exactly what's going on if people are able to check that out and send their sons there. What can we expect?
Well, the cool thing is, you know, Kendall's going to be out there. He was able to get some of his buddies, Jalen McMillan, who's also a 2024 NFL draft prospect, looking to get his name called next week. Ex-Georgia great. Well, not an ex. He's a Georgia great. And ex-NFL running back Todd Gurley is going to be there. And we're working in a partnership with Buchanan High School football and also athletic performance and really just put together a nice little skills camp opportunity for elementary age kids to come out, run around, go through some drills and get instruction by, you know, some guys who ultimately coach and train pros, you know. So it'll be a good opportunity. Kendall has, you know, a lot of his hardware out there, a lot of his championship rings and MVP trophy, just stuff that, you know, that the average person doesn't get to see, that a kid right here from the Valley is able to bring home and put on their mantle. So it should be a really good opportunity, really fun. Food, DJ, all of that is going to be out there. So it should be a really good opportunity and good time.
Yeah, absolutely. And you'll be out there for sure. And working the crowd like you do at all the events I see you at. So can people
actually for this one, I'm letting other people do it. I'm chilling.
All right.
Yes. So this is one of the ones where I am going to try to stand back and let, you know, other people create the environment and that sort of a thing. We've done the legwork to prepare for it. Now it's time to execute.
So you said that Kendall's going to bring his championship rings. What for those that haven't seen them yet or can't make it there, what do they look like, man? Are they just shine and they stand out, don't they?
It's ridiculous. I mean, so he'll have both of his national championship rings out, his Peach Bowl ring, the SEC championship ring, two college football playoff rings. He'll also bring out his Orange Bowl MVP trophy, that big old thing. Goodness grief, these things are huge. These rings are huge. They're crazy. But you know what? Those boys work their butt off. So, you know, I guess that is 100% an illustration of the work that they put in.
Absolutely. And if kids and parents weren't able to sign up, can they still come and check out that stuff and meet Kendall and meet some of the other guys?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's still open to the public to be able to come out, observe, take some pictures, and just kind of hang out. The only thing that's capped are the kids that's on the field. We'll be taking a handful of walk-ups whether or not shirts will be available for the walk-ups is one thing, but we may be taking some walk-ups. So I definitely encourage elementary kids. I think it'd be pretty fun, good opportunity either way.
So what were the inner workings of getting Todd Gurley to come to Clovis?
Kendall making a phone call. Todd is like a big brother to him. So they engage on a very social level. They talk very, very frequently, probably daily or weekly. So it was really just him making a phone call.
So has Kendall been back in this area preparing for the NFL draft? So when his time at Georgia ended, did he move back here and start working out?
No. As soon as the Orange Bowl was over, he left and went to Frisco, Texas, and worked out at the training facility located next to the Star, where the Cowboy facility is. And so that's where he spent all of his time up until the combine.
Okay.
Then after the combine, he went back to Georgia, and that's where he's been training since then.
Got it. So he's going to be in town for how many more weeks? What does that timetable look like?
He'll leave again Sunday. And with the draft happening Thursday, we'll be in Atlanta. We're hosting a draft party for him. And then basically whenever his name is called, whichever team calls him, they'll tell him when they want him to report. It's probably generally like the next day.
Got it. I want to ask you, Chris, talking to Chris Milton, father of Kendall Milton, having a camp today at Alta Sierra from 5 to 8. Could come and take some pictures and look at all the great hardware that Kendall has accumulated during his time at University of Georgia. And I want to ask you, Chris, why is it important for Kendall and for your family to give back to the community? I've heard Kendall in different interviews shout out Clovis and Buchanan, and we always feel a sense of pride when we hear that from Kendall. But Kendall, I mean, he's proud of where he comes from, but why is it important for him then to come back and give back to the community and to the kids?
Well, you know, he's been involved with youth football really since kindergarten, first grade. So he's grown up on the football fields here in the Valley. And, you know, much like him, he had older athletes that he looked up to and was able to kind of see where they went and where their career progression went. And maybe in some form or fashion, it influenced him, his play, his motivation, so on and so forth. So, you know, now he has the opportunity to sit in that seat where other kids look up to him, to where they could say, I've seen Kendall Milton, or, you know, he went to this school, or he's from here, or whatever the case may be. So really an opportunity to say, hey, you know what? I came from here. I played in the same programs you did, on the same field under many of the same coaches. If I can do it, you can do it. And plus, you know, again, being from here, just wanting to do something for your city, support your city, support your environment. And that's really why he wanted to do this camp, wanted to make sure that it was a free camp to where people of any income bracket, social economic stature could come and just really enjoy themselves without having to worry about any other external factors. So, you know, those are the thoughts that he mitigated through and came up and said, hey, this is what I want to do. And each year we look forward to grow larger. This is something he financed completely on his own this year because he wanted it truly to be from him, no sponsors or anything. But we do have partnerships. We'll have someone out there with the big trailer with food for the kids. We have beverages and other things out there that time has been donated. But as far as actually acquiring stuff to be out there, he wanted to make sure that this was truly him, right? So that's really his motivating factor.
Well, that's awesome. That is excellent to hear. And you know, I saw the shirts, right? I assume that the Kendall Milton camp that I tweeted out, that graphic is going to be what the shirts look like. So, man, that is sweet. And it's been fun, Chris, watching your son just grow into the person that he is and to be able to give back. That is awesome, and it's a great story. I want to ask you, Chris, with those two national championships that Kendall won, I mean, how can you possibly put into words what that experience was like for you and for your family? If you were at the game, watching him on TV and watching his interviews, describe what that was like from a father's perspective.
You know what? It's a mixed bag of emotions. you know, a lot of people, you know, when they say, oh, this must be exciting, you must be this, you must be that. I don't think people realize, especially at that level, it's such an emotional roller coaster because your future is 100% based on your performance. It's a little different going from high school to college, right? That's one thing. But when you're in college and you're looking at that next level, sitting in those stands and really biting your nails, one, making sure this kid gets up after every time he's hit, right? But also actually performing. So it's an emotional roller coaster. So, I mean, going to the Natty, that's unreal. I mean, very rarely does anyone get to do it, right? And very rarely does anyone get to do it once. But goodness, they got to do it twice, 2 years in a row, which is crazy. So, you know, after it's all said and done, it's absolutely celebration. It's absolutely, you know, the reflection of the season and so on and so forth. But when you're in it, man, it's very emotional. It's stressful. I mean, looking at Mom and I in the stands, a lot of times you can see it all over our faces. So sitting in the parent section, man, it's not what people think at all. It's not like it is on Friday nights. Trust me, it's not.
Are you more of a, do you pace around? Are you standing the whole time? Are you getting up, getting down? What does that normally look like during a game?
So it depends. Generally when you know, he's back there in the backfield, I'll generally kind of stand up. I don't do a lot of talking during the game because I'm, you know, you really watch him. But when he's in the backfield, I kind of stand up off to the side just because I want to focus. I kind of be in my own world, if that makes sense, during that time, you know. So, again, there's definitely nerves in that. It's visible.
I believe it, Chris. And, yeah, I obviously, from your perspective, it's a lot different. And when Kendall would be in the backfield, I would say that, too, when I'm watching the game. And, you know, I have three daughters. Well, at that time, you know, now my daughter got married, but I have three daughters and my wife, and I'd be yelling at the TV, Kendall's in right now. Kendall's about to get the rock. I know it. So if I'm doing that in my living room, I can't imagine what you're doing when you're watching the game live with your son.
Yeah, and you know, especially when he makes a big play and breaks tackles and, you know, and all of that type of stuff, man. But don't get me wrong, after that whistle and you see him pop up, definitely a sense of pride comes over, right? But then as soon as they line up, all right, time to get back to work again, right?
Exactly. Talking with Chris Milton. Was there a favorite play, Chris, over the years? I know he scored that touchdown in the national championship game. That was awesome. But is there one specific play that stands out to you?
Tennessee freshman year, toss left. He broke like nine tackles on that play, hand to the ground, keep his balance, and picked up like another six. That was freshman year. I'll never forget that play because, you know, so again, there's a misconception that most parents who have kids that go to this level that, you know, that they're cocky or they're just full of this confidence and so on and so forth. But one of the things for me, I 100% kind of question, man, I wonder, can Kendall actually play at this level? You know, can he actually play in the SEC? And so for me, that was the play that lets me know, yep, he's exactly where he needs to be. I'll never forget that. I'll never forget that play freshman year as a 17-year-old. No, he was 18 at that time. As an 18-year-old true freshman in college. I'll never forget that.
Well, I think I remember that play as well, where he just kept bouncing off of guys. Guys were trying to leg tackle him, and Kendall was slipping out of it. And I think the announcers were going crazy as well. Yeah, if we're talking about that same play, that's it. That's it.
Yes.
So, Chris, how many miles do you think you traveled over the last 4 years? Can you, like, estimate?
Oh,
I mean,
shoot.
Thousands upon thousands, right? You racked up some frequent flyer miles for sure.
So this oh yeah, frequent flyer miles, automatic upgrade, American Airlines. And put it this way, Mom and I, literally every Thursday night, red eye. Okay, so at least every Thursday, coming home every Sunday, to leave again Thursday, to come back Sunday, flying across the country, whether it be to Georgia or whether it be to Florida, South Carolina, Tennessee, Missouri, wherever, right? Any of the SEC schools, every week, one or both of us were on a plane crossing this country from September to January. crazy.
That is crazy. That's awesome. Chris, I want to ask you a couple more questions, talking with Chris Milton, father of Kendall Milton. Chris, at one point did you realize that college football was more of a business than anything? Obviously, you mentioned trying to get Kendall to the next level and even wondering, man, is he even going to make it in the SEC? And now we sit here talking about the NFL draft and him holding a camp. But when did you realize, man, college football is different?
As soon as he got to Georgia, when you go through the recruiting, and again, you got to Kendall's recruiting. He was, people talk about that blue chip, right? Kendall was that blue chip. You know, you have kids that get recruited to go to college. You have them, but then you have that top 1 or 2% that the recruiting is just crazy. That was Kendall's. So getting wined and dined, and just laughs and jokes and camaraderie and all of that from all the coaches and everything up into recruitment. But until the day you step on college campus, you are now a member of that football program, and all that sweet stuff is gone. Gone. And it lets you truly know, wow, that was 100% recruiting. Now, once you're here, everything is about numbers. Everything is about numbers. Everything that they do, everything that they gauge you by is about numbers. And, it's that whole saying, men lie, women lie, numbers don't. Oh, that's real for them. Everything is quantified. Every aspect of it. Every decision that they make has to make operational sense. The same way people run a business, that's the same way these coaches are running their rooms and running their programs. And we learned that very early, very early.
Yeah, it's a different ball game at that level. And Kendall Milton made a good choice. I'm sure there were some times you're like, man, is he in the right spot? Does God have this plan that we're all trying to figure out here for Kendall's life, and two national championships and preparing for the NFL draft. All right, I got one more question for you, Chris. Thanks for taking the time. Really appreciate you as always. So whatever team Kendall lands on, whatever NFL team, what type of person and what type of player are they getting?
First and foremost, you're getting a team player. One of the things that literally everyone has said, GMs of NFL teams all the way to teammates, he is like the perfect person to have inside of a locker room. He is a team guy, 100% team-oriented and team-focused. You're also getting someone that is going to do the right thing. On the field, you know that he's going to work according to the way that they practice. Off the field, he's going to be not only a good representative of the program, but more importantly, a great representative of his last name. You're getting someone who does pay attention to detail, who has a high football IQ, and dependable. So I think those are the things that you're going to get with Kendall that absolutely will help benefit a program. And I think more importantly, at this time, you're getting someone because he came from a program where they do a room running back by committee. You're getting someone who has low tread on their tires. So that means that they have some good years in the NFL.
I agree, Chris. All those things are true. Whatever NFL team gets Kendall Milton is going to get a quality football player and a quality kid as well. So, Chris, it's been a fun journey for you these last years at watching your son play University of Georgia. And Kendall's giving back to the community today from 5 to 8 at Alta Sierra. Could go meet him, take some pictures, check out all that cool hardware that he has earned over the last few years. But, Chris, thank you, my friend. I really appreciate you coming on the show and talking about your journey as well. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, for real. Thank you.
You bet. That was Chris Milton. After the break, we're going to be talking with Kingsburg head baseball coach Jimmy Cranford. You're listening to 1430 ESPN. Got a really good conversation with Chris Milton, the father of Kendall Milton, and a few things stick out from that conversation. And Chris has lived through it, lived through all the wine and dining from all the big time programs for the son. I know he went and visited Nick Saban, Brian Kelly, but once you step on that campus and you belong to that program, right? And they are trying to win football games, right? Yep, they're trying to develop you, trying to bring a sense of camaraderie within the program. However, they got to win football games. That's how they keep their livelihood, talking about the coaches and the staff and everybody. So, yeah, great perspective from Chris Milton. Again, the camp for Kendall is putting on at Alta Sierra 5 day. Go check that out. I'm gonna be there. Can't wait to see those rings, man. That's awesome. Got Jim Cranford on the line right now, head baseball coach at Kingsburg. They are the defending D3 Central Section champs, currently 15-7 this season. They split with Kerman this week, currently tied atop the standings in the Tri-County Division. So, Jim, thanks for joining us today. I know you were on the road a little bit earlier, but thanks for coming on. Appreciate you.
Hey, thanks, Paul. I appreciate you guys and everything you do.
And I know that some of your baseball boys are working the car show at Kingsburg. Kingsburg has this annual car show, so some of the boys are there. And, you know, you have a lot of old soul in you, Coach, and I was just curious, what type of car that you drove in high school? I graduated in 89, but I drove a 1956 yellow Bel Air Chevy. So I had that. Everything was obviously, you know, crank, 3 on the tree, all that stuff. But what did you drive in high school?
I had a 72 Firebird with one seat, only the driver's seat, with a 4-speed on the floor and a 400 in it. So, yeah, I paid $500 for it, and probably too much, but we had a lot of fun in it.
4 on the floor. So when you had passengers, they had to definitely avoid that right in the middle, right?
Well,
had to sit around it.
There were no passengers in that vehicle. No, the passengers, there are no passengers. Only there was only one seat, the driver's seat in it.
But would you pack people?
When we needed to go somewhere.
Yeah.
When we needed to go somewhere, we went from a 72 Firebird to a 72 Continental, my mom and dad's.
Did you have a stereo at all or not? Was it just windows
nope,
down,
no radio,
whatever?
No, nothing. It was primered the whole nine yards.
That's awesome. Good stuff. How would you assess your season so far, Coach, on the baseball field? You guys are 15-7. You guys have scheduled up. I'll talk about that in a second. You haven't, you know, you've played a lot of the big-time programs up and down the state as well. But right now, at this point in the season, how would you assess your year so far?
Kind of up and down. You know, we've had some injuries this year. We lost a 1-2 pitchers for about 3 weeks. They're on the way back, and little alleys in some other spots. But, you know, it's been up and down. I mean, I think in the 7 games, we probably got it handed to us by De La Salle and Sierra Pacific the last time we played them. And probably the other 5 losses, a lot of it's self-induced mistakes at the wrong time, whatever it be, offensively, defensively, or on the mound, you know. So it's kind of a we've met the enemy and they're us.
You mentioned De La Salle. You played them on February 24th. You lost 5-0. And then the Sierra Pacific game, you guys lost 16-2 on April 11th.
That was a gift. It could have been a lot worse. They were very cordial. It could have been worse.
And then you guys beat Kerman on Tuesday and then lost to them on Thursday, game that we were able to cover. Do you feel, Coach, you had a lot of seniors this year, talk about the Holden and Houston Hirschhorn. You feel like the expectations for this year was a little bit too high about what they should be? Has that played a factor in this season so far?
Well, you know, the thing about having a bunch of seniors, when they get into their senior year, it's everybody's senior year instead of our senior year. So kids start to press a little bit, try to do a little bit more than they need to do. And I kind of think that's what's been going on. I see some kids settling in now. They're getting their swings back. And, you know, I mean, we just need to get healthy here towards the end so we can make a run, you know, in the playoffs. That's what we're really looking for. So, you know, like I said, we're getting Jensen back. Gavin made his first start in 2.5 weeks the other day. His rhythm was off a little bit, but he threw the ball well, you know. And he had a couple of innings where maybe, you know, make a couple of plays, and he gets out of those innings not giving up any runs. But, you know, and like I said, when things start to go bad, everybody starts to press. They try to do things that more than they can do. And then that's kind of been, like I said, a lot of our problems have been self-induced.
But you do have a big win against Clovis West. You play the D1 defending champ Centennial. When did you feel, Coach, that your program could play against that type of competition? Like, did you think a couple years ago, hey, when this group of kids are at this age, we're ready to take on those types of programs? When do you feel like the team was ready?
Well, I think probably when these kids were coming into high school, freshman, sophomore year, I mean, we knew they were special. It's a great group of kids, and we owe them, you know, the ability to play the best around. And so we tried to schedule up. We wanted to play Clovis this year, but they ended up going to Las Vegas for the tournament and stuff. And, you know, those are win-win games because you learn and you kind of measure your ability. And they're playoff atmosphere games, you know. I mean, even that game the other night that you guys did, that's a playoff-type game, you know, where you've got probably one of the best pitchers in the league, one of the best teams in the league, and you're going at them. And, you know, they got us. But, you know, on Tuesday, holding through 7 innings, 73 pitches, 2 hits, you know. So, I mean, it's just kind of one of those things, you know. I just think you owe it to your kids to play the best people around.
And you guys certainly have, you know, Max Preps is Max Preps. They're not the eyeballs that a lot of people that do the rankings have, but you guys are ranked in the top 10 in the Central Section. You guys were last year as well. You got a fine program, and it's a one school town as well, which we love. And you know the types of kids that are coming into your program. And you mentioned Hirschkorn. You mentioned Jensen, who's coming back or has a little bit of injury right now. He's 6'7". He is Holden and Houston's younger brother, not the little brother. You know, he started the championship game last year as a freshman. What's the ceiling for this kid?
Oh, I think it's unmatched by anybody who's been through Kingsburg, and at least in my lifetime. I mean, dating back to the 70s, he's probably like a Scott Lindquist kind of kid, you know. He's just phenomenal athlete, great basketball player. Probably played football and he's starting quarterback, starting wide receiver. He runs well. I mean, you saw the two balls he hit the other night. I mean, he hit a ball yesterday in batting practice that flew the second fence out on the tennis courts. So, I mean, he just ceiling's unbelievable. He's going to be, you know, a kid that pretty much I think can pick where he wants to go to school. You know, I mean, and it'll be big time wherever he wants to go. So,
right-handed pitcher, who said clocked at 90 miles an hour, and left-handed batter, and yeah, his hands were super quick. So being that tall, for him to be able to cover the plate like it is, and those, he had a couple hits in that Thursday game. Both of them were down the line. He pulled it, and Mike Brink and I were both like, man, he's got some quick hands. He's got a lot of talent as well. So you got a lot of talent on this baseball team. Who are some other guys that have stepped up this year, guys that we need to keep an eye on?
I think Holden's done a really good job. He's stepped up and filled in the pitching spot. He's thrown two pretty good games in the league for us. Jensen's had a pretty consistent year. Gavin Inns has had a pretty consistent year. Gunnar's starting to make his way back. Houston's starting to swing the bat better. Bodie, I think Gavin Akusian, you know, you look, he's drawn the short end of the stick because his losses are to De La Salle, Centennial. He lost to Kerman the other night, and we threw a combined no-hitter against Pioneer Valley and lost that game. So, you know, and he got that start. So he's faced, you know, I think all those teams are, David Sal's out of section, but all those teams are ranked in the top 15 of our section. So, you know, I think he's thrown the ball really, really well for us this year. And you know, we just got to put it all together and get after it, you know, and one game at a time type thing. And, you know, I mean, we usually get most of the team's number ones, or we get somebody, you know, that can get after us, and we've got to make better adjustments at the plate. But those are the kids that have kind of carried us all year long, you know.
And those high-pressure situations, those playoff situations pop up, like you said, during the year. And you guys are getting everybody's best shot. How is it going from maybe being a hunter the first couple of years when you return to coaching, then to now – you're getting everybody's best. How are high school kids able to adjust to something like that, and how does you and your staff approach that situation?
Well, the thing about baseball, you know, I mean, you walk on the field, other than the dimensions in the ballpark, it's 60 feet, you know, 6 inches on the mound, 90 feet. You just, you know, your opponent is not the team you play, and I've said this to you before, it's the game. And if you play the game correctly, you're going to be in a position to win at the end. And that's just the way we approach it. I mean, we approach De La Salle like we would have Fresno Christian. I mean, you can't do anything different. You got to show up and do what you're coached to do, and you know, play the game. And if you come out at the end, you limit the amount of outs you give up. You know, if they only have 21 outs in a 7-inning game, and you only give them 21 outs, you got a pretty good chance to win. But when you throw the ball the wrong base, you know, you walk a guy and you extend innings, and now they're playing with 30 outs. You got to be pretty darn good. So I mean, we just let the kids play, teach the game, and you can't micromanage kids. You know, you can't put them in that situation where always second guess what they do and stuff like that. They know our kids when they leave us. They have a pretty good understanding of the game and how it's supposed to be played. And you know, some days we're going to come out on top, and some days we won't. You know, that's kind of life. You know, some days are a lot better than others. You know that for sure.
Yeah, and baseball is a different animal, right? So you got to forget about the game. Yeah, Friday night football. You got a whole week to prepare. You got the weekend to think about it, and you got it once a week. But baseball, you could play up to three games in a week. Sometimes even more if you got tournaments. So it's definitely a different animal than most sports. And Jim, I want to ask you before we go here. We got about 3 or 4 minutes. You play baseball for Coach Bennett at Fresno State from 1980 to 82. I think a lot of people don't know this, but Coach Bennett started his coaching career at Kingsburg from 1957 to 58, and then he went to Bullard and then Fresno State. So, Coach, what did you learn from Coach Bennett during those years, and can you share any great stories about his humor or something that most people don't think of when they think of Coach Bennett?
Well, with Coach, it was consistency. You got to show up every day and you got to go to work. You got to put in your time. Games are won on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, not Thursday. You know what I mean? You're not going to win on game day. You got to prepare. You got to be consistent. You got to have a great work ethic. You know, that's just kind of the way Coach, that was just him. Whether you had him for a class, like his baseball class, or you took his jogging class, I mean, he approached everything the same way. Put in the time, you know, be dialed in, show up on time, be punctual. You know, treat people the way you want to be treated. And that was his coach. You know, I mean, and a lot of people don't know that his sense of humor was just amazing. He was one of the funniest men on the planet. I was fortunate enough to meet him when I started going to the Y camp, including a Pete Biden camp. And I ended up going to that camp for a few years, and I ended up being a counselor at that camp and end up coaching at that camp. So when you get into that room with guys like John Osborne and Pete Biden and Bob Bennett and Stan Bledsoe and who else, you know, were on that, you know, Bert Holt. You hear, I mean, you talk about stories about baseball. I mean, it's something out of a time capsule. And I just appreciate all those opportunities I had to listen. And believe me, all I did was listen. I never interjected. there were some legends in that room. And so it was pretty, Coach is just really funny. I mean, he could have been an MC for any banquet or any talk show, anything he wanted to do. I mean, if he didn't want on the traveling circuit for clinics, every room would have been packed. Coach, he's very dynamic, you know. So, I mean, there's a lot of good stories. And some I can tell you and some I can't tell you. So, I mean, it was just the way it goes.
Well, one that I can say, I went to one of his clinics and we were in one of the rooms there. There's probably – it wasn't a huge – session, probably 15 of us, and the way he captivated the room obviously was something I'll remember. But the way he made fun of left-handed pitchers, and it was almost like it was like a one-man act, right? He put his hat to the side and he'd say, oh, there's always this goofy pitcher that threw an 82 mile an hour fastball we weren't able to hit. And I mean, just those types of antics that he had were incredible.
You know, that's a true story. Left-handers, they'll tilt it to the right. The left-hand loop, left-hand side of their fans pulled up higher. The left side of the at the bottom pulled up higher, and they drag their left toe. You learn to, when you're a left-handed hitter, you learn to pick those guys out when they walk into the gate, and you know whether or not you're going to play that day. If there's a bunch of guys dragging your toes, you know, their toes, and you're pretty much going to be down in the bullpen all day. So, yeah, Coach's pretty funny when he gets out to you. So we had a situation where I was at Fresno State. My senior year, we were ranked number 4 in the country, and we played our first 3-game series. So we were 0-9. We played Arizona State, Stanford, and SC. They were 1, 2, and 3, I think, at the time. And then we played Santa Barbara, and it was kind of just, you know, kind of a rest day. And Santa Barbara at that time was a really, really good program. And we lost to them. So we're 0-10. So our practice is usually early outs. We're 1:30, 2 o'clock, and we start practice at 3. We had practice the next day at 10 o'clock. We had a redirection day. And I'll tell you, it was a redirection. And I think we won the next 27 ball games in a row, you know. So, I mean, it's coach will catch your attention. I guarantee you.
Well, redirection day might have been, I'll redirect you to the foul poles and reintroduce you to each one of those, right, until you double over in pain.
We had some motivational drills. We played a 21-inning inner squad with some more motivational drills. So that practice started at 10, and we got done about 11:30 that night. So, it was motivational.
Well, one of a kind, Coach Bob Bennett, who's being honored today. Fresno State, as they take on San Jose State at 3:05. We've been talking to Coach Cranford at Kingsburg. His Vikings are currently 15-7. Next week, they have Washington Union for 2, then Selma for 2 the following week, and finish up with Central Valley Christian. Coach, always great to run into you and talk to you. I appreciate you as always, and thanks for taking the time on this busy Saturday. Good luck the rest of the way, and I'll talk to you soon.
Hey, no worries, Paul. I really appreciate it. Anything I can do for you, just let me know.
You bet. Next time I see you, I got to get hooked up with another Vikings hat, so maybe we can make that arrangement.
Whenever you need it, you let me know.
All right, sounds good. That was Coach Cranford, Kingsburg High baseball coach. Always good to talk to him. He's got some great stories as well. Speaking of great stories, after this break, our number 2, we're going to have Mike Brink, who's been my partner in crime this season, bringing you high school baseball on 1430 ESPN. We're going to talk about more baseball. You guessed it. You've been listening to 1430 ESPN.
In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Hour number 2 of the Central Valley Sports Report. Listening to 1430 ESPN. I'm your host, Paul Metters, live here at First String Sports on Blackstone Avenue in between Sierra and Herndon on the east side. Do my show from the Letterman's Jacket Room. Love doing my show here. But thanks for listening, guys. I really appreciate it. It's a beautiful day out there. Beautiful day, right? Every day that we wake up is a beautiful and blessed day. That's for darn sure. Had really good conversations in hour number 1. Talked with Chris Milton, father of Kendall Milton. Kendall has a football camp today at Alta Sierra from 5 to 8. Todd Gurley's going to be there, University of Georgia running back, NFL star when, you know, with the Rams, right? He's a dude. Jalen McMillan, another local product, is hoping to have his name called during the NFL draft from San Joaquin Memorial in Washington. He'll be there too. Go ahead and check that out. Good stuff happening in the central section. Talk with Coach Cranford, Kingsburg High, played for Coach Bennett. I mean, there's connections everywhere, right? Everyone's got a story. Everyone has their own journey. We like to highlight those here, at least on my show, Central Valley Sports Report. Bringing in right now Mike Brink. He is my partner in crime or high school baseball this season, graduate of Clovis High. Son Jordan was a star pitcher at Central and Fresno State, pitched in the minors as well, and now he's at Fresno State helping out with the baseball program there, director of operations. So, Mike, we've had a lot of fun. This year, that's for darn sure. So how you doing on this fine Saturday morning?
I'm good. It's good to see you. It's been, about 48 hours since we last were on air together. So looking forward to this, talking some baseball, Bulldogs, and high school baseball. And, like you said, a beautiful day and beautiful store here. You walk in, you're just like, can I get one of each?
I talk sometimes about the chairs. Right, I'm looking right now at Selma, Fowler, the backs of the chairs. I mean, they got it right here. You don't have to special order them or anything. You come in, pick your school, walk out with a chair, right? Represent your school.
Yeah, this is when I grew up, there was a store you might remember called Valley Sports,
yeah.
Right? And that was like you rode your bike over there. But this is like 4 times as big and better. And I love coming there just staring at all the different logos. And these jackets nowadays are phenomenal. It's crazy. I think mine was cracked on this on the elbow after about a month back in the day.
Do you still have yours?
I still have it, yeah.
Hanging in the closet?
Yeah, it's got some dust, and I keep a couple dollars in there in case of emergency. So below, just, you know, below 20. But.
And also, too, when you walk in, they got all the hats, right? I mean, Bullard has, looks like 72 different styles of hats against the wall. Clovis High has a lot as well.
Well, that's a Tom Donald thing, right? Many jerseys and
good.
Uniforms, right?
So camouflage.
Real shock.
They got it all. All right, so Mike, we'll talk about Fresno State baseball. So they play today at 3:05, I believe, is the first pitch. So you were at yesterday's game. I listened to it. Listen to Paul Leffler and the guys bring that game. But it seems like, man, they got down early, came back with that grand slam. Relief pitching was excellent, but they just after that, they couldn't get that clutch hit. They had some runners on the rest of the way.
Yeah, that first inning was just kind of shell-shocked us down there in the left field line of the dugout club. You know, but you and I talk about it all the time, walks and errors, right? We let off the game with a walk. Okay, ground out to first base, guy moves over to second on that, and we walk the third guy, and then a homer, right? Then single, balk, homer. And you're just like, what the heck just happened, right? The good thing of it was first inning, right? The first three outs of the ballgame. So with Fresno State, you know that you're going to score some runs, right? And then Tyler there in the middle of the game had that big grand slam that just kind of – and it was a very, very good crowd there last night, Paul, and just kind of reignited us a little bit. We just didn't have enough last night, and credit to San Jose, starting pitcher, threw really well. Brought in a lefty for, I believe, an inning and a half. He threw well, and then they closed it out. So I look forward to a bounce back for the Bulldogs today. That's their first Friday series loss of the year. So now you know, that pressure like Ovi talks about, you win Friday, now there's not that pressure of winning sure. two in a row to win the series. Well, we'll see what champions are made of, right, today and tomorrow, which, again, there's going to be big crowds for the Bennett Day. And warm weather brings out, you know, mom that normally doesn't show up because it's still a little chilly is now out there. And so if you're going, leave early because that parking lot was full. I was parked and I got there 30 minutes early and I was parked up against Barstow Avenue.
Oh, wow. So, okay.
Yeah, and it's, you know, since they put in the new stadium for the lacrosse and soccer, you know, that took the other half away.
Get there early.
So, yeah, get there. But it's exciting. The Bulldogs have been playing well all year. You know, you and I were just talking during commercial, the bullpen, they went 8-0s.
Unbelievable.
Following that yeah. first inning, right? And uncharacteristic of Jake Dixon, who's just been a mainstay on the mound for the Bulldogs, you know, and now his, you know, final season.
You know, 17 strikeouts
17,
by the
yeah.
bullpen.
Unbelievable.
And eight and two-thirds innings.
Yeah. I mean, you, if I would have said they lost the game, you would have said you're nuts, right?
Yeah.
And to just – and Coach Troy Buckley to his credit. I mean, he's amazing calling pitches, right? And one of the things that I like Jordan being there is learning from that guy because he, you know, he was a catcher, right, growing up and playing at Santa Clara in pro ball. And, you know, then being a head coach and having the pressure of a Long Beach State, you know, where you've got to kind of do it all or know it all, right? And so he's such a well-rounded coach that I'm just, hey, if 10% rubs off on you, son, just keep your ears peeled.
And Paul was mentioning the outside part of the plate. The ump was giving it maybe a couple inches. You're like, you just keep going there. You keep going there. You even go out maybe a half an inch and see if you get that pitch, and then you make your adjustments.
Yeah, you earn it, and it keep like you just said, just earn it on away, and then he'll let you know when you need to bring it back in. But, yeah, I thought the umpire last night was very good, consistent. You know, when we're down the line, height always confuses us. You know, that's one of the things I always laugh at as an umpire, right? Like the guys – dad's down the line and they're screaming at me on a ball that the catcher sets up off the plate,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, yeah.
But the height is right, but it's just not, you know. And so we there was a couple oohs and ahs, but the nice thing down in the dugout club now is we have a TV. So we've got the Mountain West Network
yeah.
on there. So it's two pitches behind, but you'll see us rushing to the TV
got
to
it.
Take a look.
Where'd he miss?
Like, oh, no, he was right. Looks good.
Gosh darn it, umpire.
This angle down
right.
here, you know, looks better, but... yeah, but you just looking at Fresno State, you know, this year, and great job that Overland's done. If you look at team batting, they're 297. New Mexico should always be one if you've ever been to that place. I've seen balls popped up to the second baseman. Scott Silva, former Clovis West second baseman, played at Fresno State, can attribute to this. Goes out short right field. He's camped underneath the fly ball, and it lands about 18 feet on the other side of the wall. So that wind gusts right through into right field, and it just – it's weird. It's weird there, right? So they should
well, evidenced by what? What was the score? 23-19, right? The Bulldogs won.
Oh, yeah.
At New Mexico.
Yeah.
I'm scrolling down here on the schedule. Yeah. Yeah, crazy. I mean, crazy stuff happens in the game of baseball, Mike. And I mean, what do you think the reason why Fresno State's having such a great season, 23-19, there it is, great season this year?
Yeah, well, pitching, right? I mean, it starts there, always starts there, pitching and defense. In 37 games, 4.80 ERA. Okay, that speaks volumes when you look at the rest of the league, 5.89 and 8.56, right? Now, some of it is, I mean, just the Mountain West, right? You go to Air Force, it's crazy. You go to New Mexico, it's crazy. Vegas, to a certain extent, it's crazy, right? So to have the ERA below 5, right, is one of the reasons, okay? They're also not walking a ton of guys, right? They're not making errors, okay? I looked, I believe, yesterday. It was less than one error per game, right? And that's, I mean, phenomenal because it's middle bats with stronger kids, right? And you look at Murph Gray at third. He's hitting 250, not at the standard that he created last year, right? But he puts the cap on, the glove on, he goes back, and he just continues to make plays. You know, and Eddie, you know, coming in, and Rocco from Long Beach State, Ben Newton at shortstop, right? In fall, I was out there a few times, like, I don't know if we can win a lot of games with him at short. Now I'm like, he has been phenomenal.
Yeah.
So I'm thankful for him making me look like I don't know what I'm talking about because, you know, he's built like a second baseman. I mean, be honest, he'll say that to you as well. But, man, his body looks different. It's stronger. It's more physical. And he's making all the routine plays, okay? And when you're doing that, you know, if you don't make that flashy play, and I'll say he's made several flashy plays as well, but they're just playing defense, right? And the outfield just goes and gets everything. McKernan in center, COS, right, kid? Just, like, it's hitting center. It's like, okay.
Yeah, we got it.
Go grab your beverage because he's, you know, he's going to corral that, right? And then, you know, like I said, the team fielding. So in 37 games, 97% fielding, okay? It's pretty darn good, you know, when you look at it. So that's the three majors. You know, you're putting the ball in play more. They're striking out less now at this point in the year than they did last year, right? That's a key. You and I talk about that a lot in these high school games. It's like, apply the pressure. How do you apply the pressure? You put the ball in play.
And we saw that with Kerman, let's be honest, right? So yeah. Kerman beat Kingsburg 9-3. Kerman did, I think they only struck out two times all game. You put the ball in play, put the pressure on the other team, make them kick the ball around, throw the ball around, not hit their cutoff, man. And that's a little bit what, and Coach Cranford would admit that,
oh, yeah,
right? We're not
yeah.
saying anything bad about Kingsburg,
no.
But Kerman did the things they had to do to beat Kingsburg.
They were the aggressor in that game. And I think the play that stands out probably in both of our minds is that short fly ball to left field. And they tagged, okay, and challenged it. Here you go, challenge it. Okay, catch, throw, catch, tag. It's a lot to do, right? And, you know, a couple of those throws went up the line, and Kerman scored easily, right? But they were just aggressive on the bases and first to thirds, right? And then they pitched.
Yeah.
I mean, let's not
– Adam Delgado did a great job.
It seems like you're getting that outing from that young man every time. But, again, going back to, you know, Fresno State, defense, put it in play, right? We beat that San Jose team after that first inning.
Yeah.
Right? You look at it, I mean, 17 strikeouts.
Yeah.
I mean, my gosh, you know, if you're getting 8-10, you're like, wow, this is a great game. And for that bullpen to come do that last night was just, I think that might be that turning point because there were some rough patches in there early on in the bullpen. And I think that might have just gelled them together to say, hey, I got you if you don't got him, and I got you, and I got you. And it's just a string of positiveness in a league game against a team that can hit, right? I mean, they struck out 17 guys, but don't forget, last year San Jose was the champ in our league.
They were.
Right? And granted, they did have some COVID seniors, we call them, or fifth years, or whatever terminology you want to use, but they still got some returners in there. The guy that hit the first home run, I think he's the career home run leader for San Jose State. So it's a veteran club that knows how to win, right? And every out, they were pumped because they know, hey, Fresno State's really good, right? And we celebrated on their field last year, right? And we want to continue to try to do, you know, get wins on their field. And they were they got to last night, but, you know, Noah Beall, Clovis Cougar, and
he's going to be on the bump, right?
Be on the bump. So we expect good things from him. And watching him last night, you could just see the focus on his face that, okay, after that first inning, he kind of walked down to the bullpen. And normally he's kind of smiley and looking at people and, hey, how you doing? And he
had his game,
face on for today. So it was fun. It's just fun. It's fun being out there. It's a great atmosphere. And like you said, Sunday, I think it's 99.
I got the email, and this was last night, actually. It was 95% sold out already for Sunday. So if you want to go, you can get lucky and get a ticket when you walk up. But, yeah, that's going to be a great atmosphere on Sunday. Again, today at 3:05, Sunday at 1:05. I want to ask you really quick, Mike, your son Jordan now is involved with the baseball program. He pitched there as well. I had a really good conversation with Chris Milton in hour one. What it's like when you're a parent and you're watching your kid out there, you know, perform on the field or on the court, whatever it may be. How was it for you when Jordan was pitched? Were you a by yourself kind of guy? Were you up and down guy? Were you a yeller guy, quiet guy? What were you?
Well, I'll give you two examples. So college, I was a little bit more calm and reserved because I knew that there's no chance of you being released tomorrow, right? In pro ball, every pitch, every inning, right? Every game could be your last, right? Injury. They just don't like you anymore. Trade. You know, in college, when he's hitting, I was like, all right, struck out. That was a terrible at bat. But in 16, 20 minutes from now, you're going to come up and do it again, and that one's forgotten, right? So a 1-for-4, but you drove in the winning run. The other three, they disturb you a little bit, right, because maybe you didn't have the right approach. But, you at the end of the day, what did you do to help your team win, right? And that's what it's all about. I was, I think in college, pretty much in both, I like to go down the left field line. In college, I didn't like to, you still get a little bit of the politics of why my kid's not playing up in the stands. That's going to be everywhere and forever, right? Yeah. And I get that. And I just didn't want to, listen to it, right? Because there was times and I felt, hey, my kid shouldn't be in the lineup offensively, right? And to go sit there and maybe hear that of people that may not know who you are, right? I just didn't want to put myself in front of that. So just walk down to where, I can get under the blue tent down there and they'll let the kids have it down there, but when they know who you are,
yeah,
they're a
their tone
little
changes
less aggressive.
A little bit.
Yeah. But hey, so it's different, definitely. And football, like Milton, I can't imagine just, your kid's getting pretty much in every play that he touches the ball, he's getting hammered like by a Mack truck, right?
Yes.
Where
SEC linebackers.
Yeah. NFL linebackers, right?
Yeah.
In baseball, it's all right. Maybe gets hit by a pitch, right? Big deal. We'll put some ice on it and move on and go to the next game. But, I think pro ball, watching those games on MILB or when I was there live, it's gut-wrenching,
yeah,
for a parent. Because it's like you want your kid to succeed. You want your kid to have a better life than you may have or had. And so you say, oh, you're living through your kid. No, I'm living because I had my kid. And I want my kid to succeed, right? And so you feel that every pitch, oh, where did that miss? Ump, even though I'm an ump, right? But at the end of the day, you look back and it's a small window in his life, right, or any athlete's life. And so go at it full force. And for Jordan, he finally at the end of last year with the Twins, he just said, you know what, I got to take a look at this. And he took about two hard weeks of just looking in the mirror and saying, all right, what do I want to do the rest of my life? And so he had a discussion with Ovi about, hey, I'm thinking about maybe getting the pro ball out of my system now and moving forward into coaching. You got any suggestions? So he and Ovi talked about two or three, maybe 4 days later. Ovi calls him back and said they'd like to bring him on board as the director of operations. The gal that was doing it before left to go down south to work for PSI, it was an agent judge. It was like it was a no-brainer. I mean, he's a mile from the campus, right? He is a bulldog. He understands it with Ovi because Ovi was there with him, right, as an assistant coach. And why wouldn't you want to coach? I mean, not too many guys get to coach at
your
alma mater, right?
No, that's a great opportunity. I mean, I
say coach,
lined up perfectly.
Potentially
Correct.
Coach
yeah.
at some point right
yeah.
now. It's director of operations, obviously. But just to be in there and seeing it really from the ground floor, right? The travel, the scheduling, the uniforms, the feeding the umpires and doubleheaders, like stuff that as a player you go, I didn't even know they
yeah.
ate.
Yeah,
right?
Who took care of that? Somebody
yeah,
else did.
Who gave them water, right? And so now you're seeing it. So where you're really from the bottom of the program up to the OV level, you're getting to understand what OV, how he wants it, how he thinks, and at the level of – and I'll give you an example. The bus was late to go to LMU by like 15 minutes. Well, Ovi, Brink, where's the bus? Where's the bus? Dude, I've talked to him four times, right? I can't drive it for him as well, right? Type of attitude, you know? So then, you know, it's just that stress of because, you know, you've got to put that puzzle together for road trips and, you know, hotel rooms and, you know, all these different things, tickets on the road for the kids, right? If the kids don't turn in, and some of the parents at Fullerton, if the kids don't turn it into Jordan so he can turn it into Fullerton, as an example, and their parents walk up and say, I'm Miss Smith and I want my tickets,
we don't know
well, you're
you
not
are.
On the list,
yeah.
right? Who are they mad at? They're not mad at the kid who didn't put
yeah.
that on the list. They're mad at the director of operations. And so he's learning that, you know, that dynamic of a program. So, so far he's liking it. It was a lot of hours, but, you know, so was playing. I mean, you're there yep. 4 or 5 hours before a game, so.
Talking with Mike Brink. Let's talk about high school baseball here, specifically about some of the teams that we've been able to watch. So Clovis High, Mike, they just swept Clovis North, and those are the two top teams. I'll be honest. I know Tyler Pactor just walked in. He's coming up next. I'm sure he'd have a little word with us about that. But you know, Clovis and Clovis North, we felt like we're the top two teams coming in. Clovis took care of business and. They look as strong as anybody. They're going to be a title contender for sure. What do they bring to the baseball field that you like?
Well, JD's a winner, right? Everywhere he's gone as a player. I mean, I think he lost like maybe one game in high school at Clovis West as a pitcher. He won at Kingsburg, right? And trying to, you know, get his feet in the coaching world. Obviously won at Memorial, right? And so he just knows how to win, and he understands that level, right? He really gets it and understands how to – like we talked about Tom Donald, applying pressure. JD is just like him. Apply the pressure, make these guys field the ball and play. You get a guy in third, you're pretty much going to see a push-bunt, you know, safety squeeze, right, from him. But, you know, Kasten's been great on the mound. Leal, okay, both those guys hitting over 400. They're doing this without Georges, right? Can you imagine adding that to the equation, you know, which next year they will when he gets back. But – yeah, they after that North game that we did in that championship game, Clovis and North was like, wow, North's really they've come on, right? They've turned the corner. But then, you know, Prieto went down with a little bit of a hand injury on a slide, and so that kind of changes their dynamic as one of their two leaders, him and Hurdle, being their leaders. But yeah, I would say JD and Clovis Cougars are going to be one.
And what impresses is that they do a little bit of everything right. Right, there's no glaring weakness. Maybe power, but there's not a lot of. Let's be honest, there's not a lot of power out there these days. Maybe the bats and stuff. That's for a whole different conversation. But you know, they could pitch. They play defense. There's situational hitting. That's huge as well at any level. So yeah, they do a little bit of everything really well.
Well, and if you think about that, I think two of those games in that Easter Classic, they won late, one in extras, right?
The Buller game,
yep.
1-0,
and then one in the bottom of the seventh. So it's like a team that says we're playing seven, right? It's why not use these three outs productively and grab a victory? And they've been able to do that. So that's a team that's already, you know, been through that late inning tie or maybe behind and has had the ability to overcome that and get victories. And, you know, JD kind of just – he forces that, right? He's a guy that's, you know, demands a lot, right? But he's the first guy that's going to pat you on the back and say great job or give you a hug when you made a crucial error. So – yeah, I like what he's doing there. I like we saw Bullard, right?
And the thing about Bullard, Mike, is I don't think they're going to be challenged that much during CMAC. They're already 9-0. You see, the run differential is huge. What they got a really good one through. I'll go ahead and say 1-9, right? There's not a lot of holes in their batting order. Pitching might be an issue. When you got a team like Bullard, it's dominating league. how are they going to stay sharp when it comes to playoffs? We saw what happened last year. They got that really good team. They lost to Centennial. They shocked them at home. So how do they stay sharp?
Yeah, and we did that game, and they came in and pretty much they just took the air out of Bullard in that first inning with that big three-run homer, and it was a homer. When you hit him at Bullard in left center, it's a homer. But I think leadership is the war axe, Stubblefields, to continue to, we've been there before, and maybe we don't have the toughest league to prepare us for that. I think they are going to have to out-hit people, okay? They don't have that big guy in the mound that can just, and taking nothing away from the pitchers because it's not an easy position to man, right? And so we're not seeing a whole lot of velo across the valley right now, and so you're having to pitch a little bit, right? And so far they've been able to do that, and we'll see. It's nice to have Tom Donald in your dugout, right, when if you're in that mode where you maybe not had the biggest challenge in the recent, the early season challenge, but in the league season, probably not the challenge that the Clovis West and Norse and the track, have had. So, but I look forward to any team Tom puts on the field. It's like that's scary, right, because he just finds a way to win.
And they got other D1 guys, their catcher Jake Porter, he's a D1 guy. Keenan Gomez, second base, and Gomez has stepped up on the mound as well. Yes. So look out for Gomez on the mound.
And he's been a pitcher, right? He's not going to blow it by you, but he pitches, he mixes it up. John Gross, very good pitch caller there for the Bullard Knights. I look forward to that. And then recently, Clovis West bats have come
there
alive,
you go.
Right? And
yep.
we had talked about that. And I had a conversation with one of their coaches. I won't mention the name. He said, "Yeah, we're just not there." And they had a couple injuries. DeCaneo was down a little bit, and then now he's back. So that's another, three at bats a game that's going to be quality at bats for the Golden Eagles. So, and then they've been pitching, obviously, with Tyler, one of the top players in the Central section, and probably I would say a leader or co-leader for MVP in the league, who's hitting and definitely pitching. So,
they have a team ERA. It's under two. It's like 1.73.
Yeah, a lot of credit to Billy Seamus, former big leaguer and minor league pitching coach. It's done a really good job with that team, the pitching portion of that team. And so they're dangerous. Do you want Tyler in first round? Do you want Tyler, in any time in the playoffs? And right now, the way he's throwing, I would say no, you don't. So.
We got a couple minutes here, Mike. I want to talk a little bit about Buchanan. They're 9-11 on the season, 2-4 in the league. Is this just a case of Clovis North, Clovis West just having a better team this year, or is there something else that that's not quite going as the Buchanan faithful would like?
Yeah, I would say that those other two or three teams, North, West, and Clovis, are definitely better right now. But that seventh and eighth grade team there in the Buchanan system, very good. Typically your freshman, sophomore years are really good, but they're in a transitional year of a new coach, kind of a, new mentality, how we do things. Some of these players did things the Tom Donald / Brad Fonts era, right? Because it was pretty much the same. It just kept going with Coach Fonts. And now you've got a big leaguer who comes in, right, with maybe a different, this is how we do it, right? And one thing I'll point out that caught my eye when we did that game against Clovis at Buchanan about a week ago is they stayed in the dugout after the ballgame, after that loss, right? And he wasn't a yell and scream, cuss type guy. You could hear the volume in his voice, but it was very much making the points of emphasis on, what we did right and what we did wrong and how are we going to get better. And I appreciate that in a coach that, hey, I'm the newie, you guys aren't, right? And so it's 30 of you guys learning what we and our coaching staff wants compared to what you knew before, right? And so it's interesting, right? I mean, anytime Buchanan's not winning, then you naturally are going to get the rumblings, right? What's going on over there and what happens? And then if a kid or two in the transfer world era, right, leaves, then it becomes, oh, it's a mess over there, right? Well, I'm not going to ever question Troy's knowledge, right? I mean, this is a World Series MVP, right? But, You know, not every coach is for every player, right? And I'm not saying he is or isn't. I'm just saying you could go to name the school, insert the school, right? And I just don't jive with that coach, right? But it'll be interesting to see where they end up playoff wise.
And I think we talked off air a little bit about this too. They're going to be dangerous in the playoffs, right? And you know, we know the history, we know the national championships, we know the Central Section championships, but when somebody sees them in the playoffs, they're going to be like, oh, shoot, we're playing Buchanan,
yeah,
right? There's still that storied history of the program.
Well, it is, and I've said to you before that it always felt like you walk into Buchanan and you're down 2-0,
yeah,
right? And so does that go away because maybe the year hasn't been what the Valley's accustomed to? Like, you know, because they're usually, you know, 22-1 or whatever it is, right? Now that they kind of more of a 500 club, now everyone's like, oh, you know, up in arms, right? What's going on over there? It's, you know, they're falling apart. No, they're not. They're going to be fine, right? Are they not allowed a year or two of quote-unquote rebuilding instead of reloading, right? So it'll be interesting, like playoffs, you know, because all these criteria, you're probably more up on it than I am because it seems to change every time I get in tune to it, right? There's some new wrinkle into going down to 2 or 1 or whatever it is. But, you know, Buchanan might be dropping to 2, right? And that could be the first year. I talked to a former player out at Bullard. He's talking about that would be the first time that they ever didn't play at the D1 level, yeah, in a playoff. Yeah. So, the rest of the season is going to be very interesting.
It'll be interesting. All right, great stuff as always, Mike. Enjoy, first of all, doing our broadcast together. We've been doing it all season. I think we got 6 games under our belt, so we got a good synergy going. So I appreciate your knowledge. We're going to bring in Tyler Patrick right now, but thanks for coming on to First String Sports. Appreciate you, my friend.
Thank you, Paul.
Absolutely. All right, Tyler Patrick coming up next from Clovis West. You're listening to 1430 ESPN. Welcome back to the Central Valley Sports Report. You're listening to 1430 ESPN. I'm your host, Paul Metters. Had a good conversation with Mike Brink. Could talk baseball all day with that guy, man. That guy's been around for a long time, and I say that in the most honorable of ways. And we have Tyler Patrick here right now at First String Sports, senior at Clovis West, headed to Fresno State for baseball. Obviously, the quarterback in football as well. Having a fantastic year. I mentioned in my opener some of the crazy stats that this guy is putting up this year. But more importantly, the Eagles are 15-5,
yep,
and 5-1 in the track. So you came straight from practice?
Yeah.
So you guys have a 3-game series, right? And then you got practice on Saturday. What's your dad trying to do to you guys?
Oh, man. I mean, it's nothing it's nothing crazy. Saturdays are normally light. Just pitchers got bullpens and cardio, and then the cages are open, and then ground balls, fly balls. So it's Saturdays are normally light, but just getting the bodies right after a three games a week.
And it was a really good 3-game sweep,
yep,
of Clovis East. We're going to get into that in just a second. But, like, on Saturday, so you practice, right, coming on the radio, talking sports till about 12 o'clock. What do you got going the rest of the day?
Probably just hanging out with some friends, yeah.
All right. That's a good thing. It's your senior year, right?
Yeah.
You got to take it all in and enjoy these guys.
Of course.
All right, so let's talk about Clovis East. So you beat them. So, again, the track plays 3 games, Tuesday, Wednesday, Fridays, right? 7-3, 15-0. It's a game we're going to talk about. And then yesterday, 7-4. I was following that game on Twitter. You guys were down 4-1. I think East got 3 runs in the top of the 6,
yeah,
and you guys came back with a 6th spot.
Yeah.
True. All right.
Answered back big time.
So talk about that inning and coming back, especially late in the ball game.
I mean, they had a good run in the top of the 6th. I think they had a run on either first or second. They had a 2-strike double, so that really hurt, but we just brought the bats out and we got them hot and put up a 6 spot to secure the win. So that was good for us.
What? Okay. So again, you guys won 7-3 and 15-0 in the first 2 games. When you guys went down in the 6th, did you feel a little mood change a little bit? Or are you guys still even? Or are you like, hey guys, we can do this. We can come back, because I don't think you guys were down in any of those 2 games.
Right.
You could tell
that
the week.
You could tell the energy was a little bit down, but once we got the rally going, it was time to go and we were locked in.
Who closed out the game?
Brody Santos.
Did he pitch the because I saw he got a win. He pitched 4 1/3. Did he just come in relief and go the rest of the way?
Brody, Jake Turley started. He went 4 1/3.
Oh, that's it. Okay.
1 run, and then Brody finished it.
And he finished it.
Yeah.
All right. Tyler, I want to go back to the 15 to zero game on Wednesday. You hit a grand slam, a win on the mound, 5 innings, 6 Ks. Let's talk about the grand slam first. Were you – talk about the situation.
Right.
Were you hunting a pitch? Were you looking for something specifically or just like, I just want to make solid contact?
Honestly, before I went up to the plate, Coach Ware pulled me aside. He said, slow it down, get your pitch, and got the pitch and did what I needed to do with it. So
left field?
Yeah.
Is that where you hit it?
Left center, yeah.
Left center. And then you pitched on the mound.
Right.
What was working in that game?
My changeup was really good, actually. Got a good amount of swing and misses on that. But I think all three were good, just pounding the zone, giving my team a chance to win. Got a lot of ground balls in the – I think I got 3 straight ground balls to the shortstop in the 6th.
Oh, really?
In the 5th, yeah.
To Nolan?
Yeah.
Nolan gobbling it up?
Yep.
Yeah, and you had 6 strikeouts in the game in 5 innings, so that meant that your defense did a good job,
yeah,
got those other outs. Yeah, have you learned as a pitcher, right, to let your defense do the work? I mean, because your fastball, it's going up. What are you clocked at right now?
I think I hit 92 a couple weeks ago.
So you got that in you. Sometimes you just want to feel, man, I know I could pump it past this guy, right? But at what point did you realize, man, pitching a contact can work at this
right.
level as well?
And I feel like sometimes when you don't have your best stuff, you just have to trust your mechanics and just trust your movement, trust your pitch calling, trust your coaches, trust your defense, and let that play.
Was that hard for you, though? Is it hard for you to dial that down a bit, thinking, man, I could be the dude right now and looks good throwing this by the guy to like, hey, maybe I need to locate a little bit more, take a little bit off, right? Is that hard for you?
It's always fun to get the strikeouts, but at the end of the day, you got to win games and give your team a chance to win.
There you go. Good answer. I like it. I wish I had a baseball here. Maybe one of the first string guys could throw a baseball. Because I want to – you mentioned changeup.
Yeah.
Right? So how are you gripping your changeup right now? Are you doing a circle change or how are you gripping
it? So a lot of guys go circle, but I've worked with our pitching coach, Coach Seamus, and I kind of hold it like almost like a fastball with my fingers on the side.
Here we go. Look at Ryan tossing the ball to Tyler.
I used to go here, and then it was just like it was okay. It wasn't a great pitch for me, but then I switched it to here.
Okay, so describe exactly – so the radio listeners can know exactly where your grip is.
So before I had my middle finger and my ring finger on the 2 seams right here. And then now I switch it to my index finger and my middle finger on the 2 seams. And when I throw it, I kind of throw it like a fastball and just trust the grip.
Are you putting more pressure on a certain finger?
Maybe a little bit right here on the middle finger, just trying to release it off that finger.
So is your changeup diving into right-handed hitters a little bit, or is it just kind of is it dropping?
Last outing it had a lot more drop on it, so that was really working. Yeah.
And then are you throwing slider or straight curveball?
I go curveball and I spike it.
Ooh. Yeah. All right. Yeah. And have you always thrown that? Or do you have to change your grip?
I've honestly always done the spike. I think I changed it sophomore year once, did a traditional grip, but I've been back to the spike.
All right. Yeah. So you don't throw it with the seams like that and put more pressure, so you're doing the spike like that?
Like
or is it with your middle finger?
Yeah, just the tip of the finger.
Just
actually.
The tip?
Yeah.
Okay. And then fastball, do you have a 2-seam and 4-seam? Or
I just go 4-seam, just traditional.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did your velo pump up a lot in the summer? Because – when did you first reach 90, I guess?
I honestly really haven't had a gun on me that often. Against Frontiers when I was told I hit 92, and that was like the first time I really had a gun on me this year. But I did a lot of work with our pitching coaches and just to work on my mechanics, and that's what's really helped me, honestly, just cleaning up my mechanics.
Okay, so to get to that level, to throw 90 and above, are you thinking more with your legs now? You talk about mechanics. Is it more arm slot, legs, drive? What's been the difference?
For me, it's my hips, just keeping my hips closed and on target and not flying open. Because when I fly open, then you miss up, you pull the ball, like that type of stuff.
So Coach Seamus?
Yeah.
Has been?
Coach Seamus and Coach Johnson.
Okay. Yeah. So you're catching. So you've now become the Wednesday starter.
Right.
So we've fallen into that routine, and you're catching the other 2 games.
I DH'd on Tuesday through Wednesday and then caught Friday.
Got it. Is that going to be probably the routine
It's looking
as
like
well?
It, yeah.
What are you most sore from after pitching or catching?
Definitely pitching, yeah.
Where do you get most sore?
Kind of right? Shoulder, back of my arm, yeah.
No more normal soreness, I should say.
Yeah, pretty much.
You're up to 5 homers this year. Tyler, is that something that's just become a natural progression? Because you didn't hit one last year, did you?
No, I hit one my freshman year, and that's it until this year.
You didn't hit one your sophomore year either?
No.
So this year you got five, so you're making up for everything, right? Putting it all together. What do you attribute that to? Like maturity, mechanics,
a
little bit
thing.
Of everything?
I think maturity is a big thing, but just the weight room, honestly, I put on about 15 pounds in the fall. That was big for me. And then I just, like, coming out in winter workouts, just seeing myself hit, like, just drive the ball, knowing I can put the ball out without having to, like, necessarily try to. So just that, and then just being more mature at the plate and taking my at-bats more maturely.
So let's just go back to those sophomore and junior seasons, right?
Right.
Obviously, you're the son of Kevin Patrick, the head coach, and your last name goes a long way, right? Did you ever feel pressure during those years? Like, man, I gotta smoke a double here, and then you ground out weekly, and you're like, gosh, what's wrong? Like, was the maturing process,
yeah.
Is that what the mentality was like?
Looking back, I definitely put way too much pressure on myself, and like this year, just the big thing for me is just slow the game down, have fun, play the game.
Yeah, and players at every level talk about that, right? So
right.
College football players,
yeah,
right? They talk about the transition to the pros and how the game slows down. Did it click at all maybe in the summer during baseball stuff, or did it click maybe the third game of the year? I don't know. When did it really feel like, man, the game has slowed down, my body's in great shape?
Yeah.
Was there a certain moment?
It was definitely the start of this year.
Why do you think that is?
Just off to a hot start and then just having the success that I feel like I've been needing to have.
Okay, so the five homers, when you get into the dugout, you guys got a little celebration. You got some stuff
that
you do with
your
dudes.
We go up, do a little
Bash Brothers,
yeah,
old school,
yeah,
Bash Brothers.
Like that. Yeah, we got one of those, and then the dugout lights get loud.
Who's the first guy? Well, who's usually after you hit a bomb, right? Who's hitting behind you? Who's the first guy, right?
Dom's hitting right after me, so Dom's always the guy at the plate.
Okay, so who are some other dudes that you want to give shout out? They're having really good season. So I'm looking at your stats here.
Yeah,
there you are. You're sitting. It probably wasn't updated from last night's game. You're hitting .422. Talk about those five homers. I like the nine doubles as well. 27 RBIs is huge. DeCanio's been a little banged up, right? But
yeah,
he's back.
He had a shoulder injury, but he's playing through it. He's having a solid year.
Placencia, right?
Yeah, Adams is a sophomore. He's doing a great year, both at the plate and on the mound. And then Mark Anthony, our leadoff hitter, he's reliable and he's playing good defense as well. And then Mateo's swinging it well. He's swinging it good as well.
And he's playing third, Mateo?
He's playing third base, yeah.
And Nolan's doing a great job at shortstop,
yep,
right?
Locking down the shortstop position. And then Micah behind the plate, phenomenal job all the time.
How about that dynamic, right? You're a catcher,
right?
And then you're a pitcher.
Yeah.
We'll talk about your relationship when you're on the mound with your catcher.
Oh, me and Mike have a great relationship. We've been doing it for, I mean, this is the third year now. He's a year below me. So we've been doing it for a while, and our chemistry's there. We're just always locked in together.
Who calls pitches?
Coach Seamus.
All right. Do you like that? You got it in your ear when you're catching as well and hitting?
It's cool, honestly.
What is that? I've obviously never done it, but what's it like? Like,
so
does it say, like, you can hear the coach, or is it buzzing a number, or what's
so
that look
he
like?
He talks into a walkie-talkie, and then it comes into my ear, and it just I can hear it, but I can't speak back or anything.
So you
so
can't
I just give the sign after.
Got it.
Yeah.
Got it. So do you have the guts to shake off when you're on the mound? Can you shake off, or do you have that?
I have like some free range to shake, but I think last game I just kind of trusted the coaches and let it play.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. What would happen if let's say you shook off?
Oh, man.
And you're like, no, I want to go a fastball, and you leave one up and you get hurt.
That's on me. That's fully on me.
Talking to Tyler Patrick, senior at Clovis West, headed to Fresno State. Talk about Turley, man.
And
these crazy ERAs that the Golden Eagles pitching staff. So Tyler, 0.46, amazing. 5-1 is Turley headed to Fresno Pacific.
Yeah,
if I'm not
mistaken, that was just recent, actually.
Has a 0.64.
Oh yeah, he's dealing.
What's he bringing to the table? What's he throwing?
He's got four pitches and he throws strikes, man. That's all we can ask for out of him.
And you're catching him, right?
Yeah, I caught him yesterday.
So you caught him yesterday.
Yep.
All right. So I want to ask about like at home plate.
Okay.
Right. Either as a catcher, how much interaction do you have like with the umpire, or if you know the dude from the other team? Because you've played with these
right.
guys and against these guys for a long time. Like maybe his first at bat, dude comes up that you know, I go, hey, what's up, man? How you doing? Like that?
Yeah, just say what's up. Keep it like smooth. Nothing too much.
Do batters try to talk some trash to you, or Not maybe early, maybe when you're a freshman or sophomore, say a couple
maybe,
things?
Maybe potentially, but just keeping it classy right now, honestly. Nobody really says much at the plate.
Okay, that's good. That's good. I like that. Walk-up music.
Walk-up music.
What do you got?
What's yours? Oh, I don't know who sings it, but it's What a Man. It's called What a Man.
Really?
That's my
the
walk-up
What a
song.
Man, What a
yeah,
Man.
Yeah,
that one.
Yeah, yeah.
Was it same last year?
No, this is new this year. I've had it for all of this year.
Who's got the best walk-up song?
Ooh.
That like pumps you up.
I like Mark Anthony just changed his to Crazy Train. That one's really good.
That is a good one.
Yeah,
Ozzy Osbourne, right? Da da, da da.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Da da. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Who has the worst?
Oh, worst.
No, you're like, come on, dude. Maybe a country
song
or something slow.
I have a country pitching song, so I can't hate on that. Shoot, that's a tough question.
Well, maybe next game you'll have to.
Yeah, I'll pay
really
attention
tune in
next
pay
game.
Attention.
Yeah, I'll pay
come
attention.
Over.
Look for it.
Who is it? I don't know if it's somebody from Fresno State. Somebody has "Careless Whisper" by Wham. George Michael. Maybe it was Rocco Pepe. I don't know. I don't want to say that on air, but I guess it just did. But yeah, I'll have to look into that a little bit more. Yeah, I like the walk-up songs that pump you up a little bit, right?
Yeah, that's
it gets
cool.
Your juices flowing.
Yeah.
If your dad, Clovis High legend, right? If your dad had a walk-up song, what do you think his style?
Oh, country for sure, 100%.
He'd be a country guy, an old-school kind of country guy?
He likes just all country in general, but he's a country guy for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Walk us through your decision to play baseball at Fresno State, right? Well, I'm sure it was fairly easy, wasn't it?
Yeah,
did you have some other offers, or like once they came in, you're like, yeah.
I had some other interests, but Fresno State, honestly, was my sophomore year. I went to a couple games, and I went to the first game, and I went to the second game, and the third game. By the third game, I knew it. I was like, I want to go here. This is what I want to do. And so I was fully set in stone when they offered.
Was it OV?
It was OV, yes.
Was it your sophomore year?
Sophomore year.
Okay. Yeah. So it was over. Like right away, you're like, heck yeah.
Yeah, I was all in. I'm super excited for that.
Have they talked to you about what they see you as next year? Obviously, you're hitting 92 on the gun. You're hitting the ball all over the baseball field. Is it going to be a wait and see? Like, hey,
yeah,
well, you know, we're going
to.
Yeah.
They're going to send me to Utah over the summer to play. I'm going to do both over the summer, I believe. And then in the fall, kind of just figure it out, see how it goes.
So send you to Utah to play in what type of league, do you know?
It's called the Marshals.
Okay.
Playing with the Marshals. I think they got like five teams out there, guys just playing 6 days a week, so it should be.
Is it like for mainly incoming freshmen in college, or is it like guys that
I think
fine-tuning?
It's mainly incoming freshmen and maybe like some older guys, but I think for the most part it's incoming freshmen.
Got it.
Yeah.
Got it. Do you know a lot of guys on the Fresno State team right now?
A good amount. I mean, they have a lot of local guys, so yeah.
Like Murph, have you met Murph Gray?
I've met Murph.
You
know? I played a little bit with him when I was like my sophomore year, actually.
Oh,
yeah.
Murph will be a junior next year. Like,
yeah.
I think Salvador will be a senior.
Yeah.
Right.
And then Anchor, I played against him actually a couple times in high school.
When he went to
Tulare. He was at Tulare Western. Yeah.
Did you see that? I mean, he wasn't throwing super hard then, but he's got that bulldog mentality.
Yeah,
doesn't
yeah. I don't think we ever faced him in high school, but he was playing shortstop in high school when we played him.
All right, we got a couple minutes here, Tyler. Do you feel like your senior year is happening at a fast pace? Like, you know what I mean? Like, oh, my gosh,
yeah,
I'm already here. It's April 20th,
it's flying
right?
By, honestly. Just trying to absorb every moment and just enjoy it, honestly, because it is flying by.
What do you like most about playing for your dad and playing on this year's team? I just can't wait to get to the ball field.
Yeah.
Do you like the dugout, the interactions, the games? Like, what do you just love most about Clovis West?
It's just fun, honestly. And we have a big senior group. We have 15 seniors. I just love going out to the park and playing with those guys every day.
Did you cry on senior night? Who cried?
I didn't cry, but I was in the bullpen for most of the part, so I didn't get to like experience the whole thing. But it was really cool, honestly. They set it up real nice for us.
Did mom?
I don't know.
Do you know? Maybe later?
I don't think she cried.
She didn't tell you.
I don't think she cried, but she enjoyed it.
What kind of what would be – I talked a little bit about cars with Coach Cranford, really good baseball coach at Kingsburg. Who?
Yeah. Good team.
Guys.
Great team. Yeah.
Great team, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they got
Always.
Some dudes over there.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
have some dudes. Asked him what he drove in high school, right? And he said a Firebird, 77, I believe, Firebird. If you could have any dream car, right, What car would you?
I'm a truck. I'm a truck guy, so I'd say probably like a F-150, or even like a Dodge Ram. Those are probably like my dream trucks.
What would you do to it? Would you soup it up?
No.
Like if you had unlimited funds to put anything in it or on it.
I don't know. I don't think I would do anything like with the sound or anything, but probably like an all black truck. I think that'd be sick.
All black.
Yeah.
F-150 Ford.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So maybe when you've I'm thinking ahead here. I probably should do it. When you get your first pro contract, right?
Yeah, that'd be
remember
awesome.
Talking with Tim Thiessen, who coached my brother and I coached with, and he got a signing bonus when he signed out of Fresno State, and he said he bought a Trans Am. He wasted about half of his first paycheck,
wow.
Or his bonus money, I should say, on a Trans Am. So that's what he did. So, yeah, guys usually like to buy a car. It's the first thing they do when they get their big contract. All right, Tyler, we got about a minute here. What would a perfect ending to your senior season B?
Track championship, Valley championship. That's the goals. That's what we're working for.
And you got the goods to do it. You got the guys to do it.
We got 3 more tough weeks of track, but we're looking forward to it, and we're ready to compete.
Awesome. All right. Well, Tyler, it's been a pleasure watching you grow up and play baseball and throw the football around on the gridiron, and obviously playing for your dad has been quite an experience. So I appreciate you coming on the show. And last year you came on the show and you came with your dad, but this year you're going solo. So thanks for coming on, and good luck the rest of the way.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate that.
Absolutely. That's Tyler Patrick, Clovis West, headed to Fresno State. Yep. The Golden Eagles are on a mission this year. They're currently 15-5 on the season and 5-1 in track. Well, that's a wrap. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you to First String Sports. Thanks to Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating. Thanks to Jorge back at home base. Chris Milton for joining the show. Again, you could go check him out. Check out those SEC rings, those national championship rings at Alta Sierra. That camp there is going on from 5 to 8. Thanks to Coach Cranford of Kingsburg High School Baseball. Mike Brink, my partner in crime, bringing you high school baseball on 1430 ESPN. And, of course, Tyler Patrick from Clovis West. We'll talk to you soon. Have a good weekend, everybody, and God bless.